my Lord. I can speak to a sea that no longer has a covering. And I can speak that that seed follow where I am now. I can reposition. Oh, there it is, Holy Spirit. I can reposition that seed spiritually. I can't do it naturally. I did it 15 years ago. But spiritually, I can reposition that seed. Because now I'm in a place that's extremely fertile. And now that seed can go to work for me right where I am. Ooh, Lord Jesus, talk to us this morning, Holy Spirit. Divine intervention begins with divine process. Because many of you are saying, well, I need God. I need you to just do a miracle. I need you to just come in and just, Lord, I mean, just do something that I can't do. Father God, just do it. Just that's when we're talking about divine intervention, we're talking about God coming in and doing stuff that you can't do. There's stuff that's bigger than you. Don't raise your hand. Some of you got some situations that are bigger than you. It's just bigger than you. Some of you got some situations. Listen, it happens in life. Some of you got situations where it's like, man, it would take you 32 years to pay that off. But watch. But when you're following the principles and the precepts of God and you're doing what you can do, God will then come in and do what you can't do. Oh, my Lord. I'm speaking from a place of having lived it. Can my wife say hallelujah? Come on now. If don't nobody say hallelujah. She can speak it because we've experienced God doing what no man can do, but you do your part, God will do his part. What we don't realize in the kingdom is God wants to partner with you for your breakthrough. God's not going to do it all by himself, and you just sit on your duff and watch MTV. Is MTV still even on? It is? All right. I just dated myself real quick. Man. But God wants to partner. Somebody say, God wants to partner with me. Divine intervention begins with divine process. I got a number of notes for you. Probably got more message than minutes today, but we'll see how the Lord allows me to explicate what he has given me. So write the notes down and or take a picture, whichever is cleanest and quickest for you. Haggai 1, verse 3. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. He said, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruin? This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Ooh, this is good, everybody. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're not thirsty. You're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. What has happened, Pastor? This is when your seed sowing has been personal priority driven. Yeah. See, sometimes you can be at a place where you're giving, but your giving is all about you. You can become, hear me, everybody, because I'm not just talking to those who don't give. You can become an arrogant giver. You can become arrogant with your giving. You can begin to make uneducated, callous statements such as, well, this church will fall apart if I stop tithing. If I don't tithe, y'all not going to be able to do anything. If y'all need my money, really? 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 My God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. How many of you all know if God closes one door, he's got another door just open, wide open for you? How many of you all experience God closing a door and opening another door in your life? We don't ever want to get to that. I'm talking to everybody in here, church family. Because many of you in here, and I've been saying this for a decade at this point in time, I know I grew up in church where really money was talked about, and it was talked to the people, and it made it seem as though everybody was broke. I know y'all going through a hard time, and y'all just trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, and y'all just trying to get y'all bills paid. But won't he do it? Won't God open this, that, and the other? I know you're just trying to make it tomorrow, and some of y'all ain't got blah, blah, blah. Listen, I get all of that, and I know a portion of people are going through things like that, and I'm very sensitive to that, but I also know that there's some folk in here that are shown up blessed. There's some folk, okay, you don't have to clap your hands if you don't want to, but there's some people in here that got every bill paid. There's some people in here that have watched God do stuff that they couldn't do. There are people in here that live in nice homes, drive nice cars. There's people in here that got money in the bank. There's people on every side of the spectrum. Please don't act like the church is broke. The devil is a lie. The church is not broke. The church worldwide is not broke. Maybe the place that you came from had a broke gospel. But this ain't no broke gospel, baby. And this ain't about no arrogance. I'm under my pastor. I learned that from him. Psalm 133, what's on the head gets on the body. But I'm going to tell you right now, whether or not this is your church or not, this church is blessed. This church is favored. I didn't say the church was dripping with money. I said this church pays every bill on time. This church don't owe no man. You better know where you are, church family. You better get excited where you are, because whatever's on the church, get on your family. Whatever's on the church, get on your household. This church ain't scrambling to pay stuff. Come on, everybody. Give God a shout right there. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a public cry right now in the spirit, and I can do this because Joe is my good friend. You all know we've been leasing this school. We've been leasing this school a couple of years now. We're getting ready to do some things, and I'll be talking to you later on about that. But until then, we got to keep paying rent. Amen, everybody. We got to keep paying rent, and I'll be going to Joe here real soon. And I'm going to go to Joe, and Joe's a friend of mine. We actually went to high school together. Matter of fact, the moment Joe got in the seat, he lowered the rent about $10,000 a year. To God be the glory. So while you're clapping, I'm about to go to Joe here in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to ask him to lower that rent even more. Hallelujah. Somebody better get to their feet and give God a praise and say, Joe, lower the rent in the name of... Please. I ain't playing, y'all. No, not because we're having a difficult time. No. We have no issues paying it. None whatsoever. No, but we need to take that money and put it in the coffin. We need that money in the coffin for the next phase. Man. The harvest is a byproduct of the process. I got a number of notes to give you. The harvest is a byproduct of the process. That's what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about we're expecting a harvest from God, based upon what we have done, we, the believer, have done as far as sowing seeds in the ground. Watch this. Matter of fact, go ahead and put this quote up here. The harvest, there it is, the harvest, I want us to all say this together if we would. The harvest is on demand by way of the seed. Therefore, the seed is the harvest is the. Let's say this again together. The harvest is on demand by what? By way of the seed. Therefore, the seed is the harvest is the. Amen, amen. Anybody receive that in this place? Let me give you these things right here. I want to give you two keys to the harvest. I'm not going to even give you 5 or 7 or 10 points. I'm going to give you just two. Two keys to your harvest. Number one is give. Yeah, that's real simple, isn't it? That's real simple. Y'all was expecting something, just some crazy revelation just from the throne room, and that is from the throne room, amen? Number one is give. We started out Luke 6:38. I'm going to go New King James Version now. Give, and it will be given to you what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, that's good, everybody, because I found out that the word measure means extended. But with the same measure that you use, the same extension, the same stretch out. See, when you give, you extend. When you give, you extend. You extend. We're talking finance. So when you're giving, you're extending unto God. So Luke 6:38 says, by the same extension that you give, it will be measured to you again. It'll come back to you with the same veracity of what you sowed it. It will be measured back to you. Now, that's good, everybody, because that tells me that there's a weight of the gift that comes back to you, that there is actually a measured weight of the gift. We all go through different seasons of life, so sometimes, watch this, sometimes the giving is weightier than in other seasons. Anybody understand what I'm saying? The giving is weightier. There's a few more things that are going on in life than it was in another season. But how many of you all know seasons change? Yeah. Even though the weight may lighten, when you give, no matter where you are, whether all your bills are paid and you get plenty of money in the bank, there is still a weight to your gift. Each of us should be consulting with God before we give. You should be having a conversation with God. Now, the tithe is the requirement. That's the 10%. No conversation needed there. I got about five tithers excited in this place right now. Just about five or seven of you all. There's no conversation needed there. But giving above the tithe, above, because just in a number of moments, you all, we're going to take a supersede offering. I only do this, receive, not take, receive. I'm receive a supersede offering. I only do this a few times a year, So even throughout this message, I want you all hearing from God on what he would have you to sow in a supersede offering. Amen, everybody? Give. Let me give you some definitions. Give. To pass, to transfer, to throw. Man, that's good. To expose and yield to the power thereof. So when you give, you expose and you yield to the power. That's why giving is so powerful, because when you are giving, you are saying, and kingdom giving says, God, you can do more with this than I can. And I trust you that you'll be able to receive this as I'm sowing it in fertile, good ground, and you all will be able to work with this more than what I can on my own. Giving something, this is my definition. Giving, a temporary release of that which has been entrusted to my stewardship. Temporary, because Luke 6:38 says it's coming back. So even when I release it, it'll find a way to get back to me. Now, Malachi 3 tells us that even with that tithe, that the God will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Amen? He'll rebuke him, because the devourer will come at you multiple ways. I've said this over the last few weeks. I thank God that I believe and I know that the tithe protects not only my finances, but also my functionality as a man. That the tithe protects, come on everybody, the tithe protects not only my finance, but also my health. Because the devourer is constantly coming at you. And you've got to have something to protect you from the devourer. Ooh, let that stick as a feather in your cap, because I'm going to come back to you in just a moment, and that's all going to hit home. But right here, I got something, and this is one of those things that I started out with, and this is for seed sowers only. Seed sowers only, all right? Because you're going to say what I'm going to have you to say, because you got seeds in the ground. Because sometimes we get in a hurry to see the seeds actually come back. My mother used to tell me that a watch pot don't boil. And it wasn't until I got grown that I actually wanted to see if that was true. It actually wasn't true, because you actually can go in there and watch. But y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm saying. That's just stuff that I did. But the bottom line is that a farmer understands when he sows seeds in the ground that there is time that those seeds have to go through a process before those seeds will begin to grow into what you have planted, right? Okay, so I need you to do this for me, and I need you to just touch two people and tell them these words: wait, the harvest is coming. Wait, wait, wait. Some of you all didn't move. I'm just going to say that that must mean you're not worried about no harvest. You're not worried about nothing. Oh, you're rich. Matter of fact, you must have hit that jackpot from last week. Okay, well, I'll be expecting that tithe and the offering. You got to live in South Carolina because I guess that's where they hit. But the bottom line is that you have to understand, we have to learn to wait. Somebody say wait.
Wait.
Talk to somebody say wait. The harvest is coming. Oh, my Lord. See, there's something that happens to a man or a woman of God when you walk in a level of expectation. I want to speak to you courageously where you will not lose sight, nor will you lose hope that the harvest that you are expecting is on the way. Sometimes it takes a prophetic voice to tell you through certainty that the harvest is on the way. I'm reminded of Elijah. When Elijah told King Ahab that it will not rain in this land for the next 3 years. And then we find out just a little bit later on in the chapter that Elijah, and I'm going to paraphrase this, Elijah basically says, wait, I hear the sound of the abundance of, no, not just a little bit of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when God has spoken to you about what's coming, even though you've been in a temporary drought, there are times that you're the only one that hears it. Because Elijah said, I hear it. Nobody else heard it. See, some of y'all have heard the sound of the abundance of rain, and don't let people around you discourage you. Some of you are saying, nope, I'm feeling it. I'm telling you, I'm going to get a new job. I'm about to get out of this. I'm about to go from renting to owning. I'm feeling this debt going to be broke. I'm making new decisions on your life, and you got people around you. I don't hear nobody saying that. Girl, you're going to end up in the same place that you was. You said, no. I've heard prophetically. I've heard something that you can't hear. Because when God speaks to you, he speaks to you. He don't speak to everybody around you. Is there anybody in here that is feeling that I am going to take a step out of the... I'm coming out of bondage, and I am breaking into freedom. See, the bottom line, and this is guilt, this is the body of Christ. God don't want you in debt. Some of you are in just way too much debt. Too much credit card debt. Too much debt. I want to speak sensitively to the widow, to those who have lost a husband, lost a breadwinner. Those are different situations that happen. Sometimes you run into medical bills and you get sick and you go through stuff and the medical bills just accumulate by the thousands and thousands of dollars and you literally have to try to pay that back. A nickel at a time, so to speak. I've known people, you have a $50,000 bill from the hospital, and the hospital want their money, and then you set up a payment plan, and you're paying them back $100 a month. Well, how long is it going to take you to pay $50,000 back when you're only paying $100 a month? But I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. You keep paying that minimum that you are able to pay. And let me tell you what will happen. God will come in. God will come in, and you'll get a letter in the mail, and they'll say, thank you for everything that you have paid, and I don't know why we're doing this, but we're going to forgive the rest of this balance. I've seen God do it. You tell me. Lean on somebody and say, do your business, and he'll do his. Do your business. Wait. I wrote this down, and I want you to hear this. I can prophetically proclaim the release of rain over my life and the lives of others. I can do that. I can prophetically proclaim the release of rain over my life and the lives of others. Wait. It describes an eager anticipation and yearning for the revelation of truth and love. That's what waiting means. It describes, many of you are here right now, you are in eager anticipation. Yeah. and yearning for the revelation of truth and love as it is in the Father. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait. So when I'm waiting in eager anticipation, it is really tied to truth and love. God simply blesses you because he loves you. God doesn't bless you because you've just done anything so special. Let me tell everybody in here, and I'm going to start with myself, you're not that good. God chooses to bless you because you have proven yourself to be faithful in little things. And he whom he can trust in little, the Bible says he can trust with much. But why would God trust you with much if you can't be trusted with little? So if you can't tithe on the little, then why would God give you a promotion? Wait, scriptures. Let me give wait. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall what? If we do not lose heart. Circle that in your Bible. Outline it. Do whatever you can, because there is a commonality that I'm getting into in these next two scriptures. I'm trying to let you know that this thing is about the heart. It's about the heart. Psalm 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen what? Your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A directly connecting scripture is in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I'm about to give you something real heavy. How can you fall in love with Jesus, be filled with the power of the Most High, maybe even have evidence of speaking in tongues, be saved, baptized in the blood, love Jesus, and not be a giver? It is not possible to have all of those prerequisites happening in your life. You love Jesus, you feel with the Holy Spirit, you love the body of Christ, but you not be a giver. I'm telling you these things because all of these scriptures, they deal with the most heaviest thing on a human being, and that's your heart. And what has to happen is that God has to change your heart. See, you give because you love giving. You give. Yeah, we give out of obedience. But does anybody put a smile? Anybody put a smile on their face when it comes giving time? Has anybody ever blessed somebody and actually had a smile on your face while you actually did it? Does anybody enjoy being a blessing to anybody in this place? It's about your heart. Your heart. Do you have a heart to give? Which really leads us into our number two. I told you it was only going to be two big things that I was going to give you when it comes to keys to your harvest. Number two is guard. It's guard. Number one is for you to give. Number two is guard. Let me talk to every tipper in here. Guard your heart. Let me talk to every tither in here. Guard your heart. Because what happens with a tipper, you're not giving. You're not giving accordingly because you got a heart issue. You got a heart issue. You say, well, I love Jesus. I do believe you love Jesus, but you don't trust him fully. Well, I trust Jesus. I just don't trust you in the church. So you'd rather send your money to Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer. Well, you know, I tithe to T.D. Jakes. I didn't say anything wrong with that, but this is your covering. If this is your covering, this is where you should tithe to. If you have, listen, if you have something happen in your life, T.D. Jakes not sending nobody. See, y'all don't even want to talk. Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. T.D. Jakes ain't sending nobody. They're going to say, thank you for your money. Come on, everybody. I know this is basic everyday teaching, but we got to hear this, everybody. You got to hear this. That's one of the reasons that you sow into your local church. Because your local church is your covering. There's an expectation that you should have as a man or woman that sows into the kingdom of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. You don't give to your church so your church can give back to you. Now, you don't do that. But you do give it, you do give accordingly to the kingdom. Amen, everybody? Your heart condition dictates the spirit by which you give. I got to give you some of these notes. Your heart condition dictates the spirit by which you give. How you give. How you give is just as important as what you give. Yeah, how you give. How do you give? How do you give? I talked about it. Do you give arrogantly or do you give out of humility? When was the last time that you wrote a check or just gave cash and just said, Father, I just thank you that I'm able to give? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you just made a way. When was the last time you said, Lord, boy, I tell you, if I had more, I would give more. Anybody ever said, Lord, you can trust me with more? If you never said that, this might be your time. Lord, you can trust me with more. You can bless me with more. Because as more comes into my bosom, I'll give more. A man who will not give accordingly has crowned himself as Lord over his finances. If you're not giving accordingly, you're saying that you're Lord. You're saying that you govern your own money. You say, I'm Lord over my money. Yeah, I don't need no church to bless my money. I bless my own money. That's not according to the word. So now you become Lord over your finances. A man who will not give accordingly has crowned himself as Lord over his finances. And then Jerry Savelle said, your harvest is determined by what you do while you're waiting for it. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Your harvest is determined by what you do while you're waiting for it. Can I ask a question of you real quickly? I just want to ask anybody in here to give God praise if you have experienced your financial situation, life changing, since you've been a part of this ministry. If you've experienced God, I said God, I didn't say me. If you've experienced God changing your financial life since you've been in this church, give God some praise if you would right now. Come on, y'all, give God a shout. If you have seen God do stuff, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You've seen God do stuff in your financial life since you've been in a part of ministry. That's not for me. That's not for my wife. That's for God. I think I've seen God do stuff in my life since I've been a part of the ministry, since I've been under the covering of my pastor. I've seen God do stuff that I know I couldn't do on my own. Somebody say, get in position. I've heard T.D. Jakes say that over the years. Reposition yourself. Sometimes you got to get in the right position for your blessing to actually manifest itself in a proper manner. And sometimes you're just one step away from that miracle happening in your life. But sometimes you got to realign yourself. You got to come out of a comfort zone and you got to begin to do things that you didn't used to do in days and years past. Sometimes you got to put a sacrifice before God and you got to believe God that he can do more with that sacrifice than you can. A sacrifice is something that you need, but you're expecting God to do more with what you need than what you can. Somebody say guard. Genesis 2 and 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. This is good, everybody. This is good. Everybody tune in real quick. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. I don't know about you. I'm very inquisitive about the word. I want to find out more. What is God saying through this living, breathing word of God? And I began to read this Genesis 2 and 15 scripture, and it says again, he put man in the Garden of Eden. Say paradise. He put man in the Garden of Eden of paradise to keep it. So I looked up keep, and it says to put a hedge of thorns around, to watch over, to guard, protect, and to safeguard. So the Lord put man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Stay with me, everybody. Honey, stand up just for a second. So I began to think to myself, everybody, watch this. So why would the Lord put man in the garden, which is paradise, to keep it? Why would paradise need to be kept? Let that sink in. If it's paradise, it's paradise. Paradise, watch. When God created the garden, he gave the garden everything it already needed. There was nothing that God needed to add to the garden to keep it. But what he did is he told man to get into what I have created, and I'm going to charge you with keeping it. Because it was God's intent, hear me, men, that a man from the beginning work. Oh, I don't even hear no man in this place right now. Can I get a man to say amen to that? Can I get every working man in this place to agree with me?
Amen.
Every man, God would have every man to work. Because if a man don't work, a man that won't take care of his house is worse than an infidel, the Bible says. A man is built to work, not to play PlayStation. You can do that on your downtime. But in between that, you are to work, take care of your family, put food on the table. That's a man's job. A man's job is to be the head of his household. I didn't say to be the dictator nor the ruler of his household. But it is to take care of the household. It is not the woman's job to be the head of the household. It's the man's job to take care of the household and to make sure, watch this, every man in this place, every husband ought to get excited about this. It is the man's job to make sure that the woman is in a place of security. I didn't say that that your household is going to be rich, but every wife wants to know and be assured that her man is on his job, both in prayer and in finances. Oh, my Lord. So God told the man, guard and keep paradise, because paradise has to be protected, because the enemy attacks paradise. You all think the enemy is just protected. I mean, the enemy is just targets calamitous situations or stuff that just looks bad and looks gory and it looks poor. No. The enemy will attack paradise. He will attack things that look good, that look fruit. And so God told the man from day one, I am charging you to keep and to guard it. Because what God showed me is that actually when you get married, you marry paradise. Oh, every husband better tune in right now. When you marry paradise. And what you have to do is you've got to guard and to protect paradise. Because paradise is going to be attacked. And when paradise is attacked, it is the man's job to make sure that he is guarding, that he is protecting, that he is putting a hedge around. Anything that hits your household ought to hit you first, man. The man should be the person on the wall in his household protecting the paradise of his wife. You protect that. See, if all of a sudden your wife is broke down, jacked up, messed up, that's your fault. Well, she don't even keep her hair right no more. Well, get her hair done. Well, she done put on weight. You put on weight. Your job is to protect. Yo, Pastor, what does this have to do with money? What does this have to do? Because God put a seed. He put a seed in the garden, Brian, and he said, you got to protect. Many of you, God showed me this, many of you have exposed your seed. See, when you stop praying over your seed, you leave your seed unprotected. And when your seed is unprotected, you leave the enemy. See, many of you have given the devil way too much credit about the devil all in my finances. No, no, no. You open the door. Oh, Lord Jesus. You open the door for the enemy to attack because you stop protecting your finances. It's the same thing that happens within a marriage. If you stop protecting your home, what happens when marriages get jacked up is all of a sudden the man is out of place. I'm not saying, now there's some women out there that's woo-wee. Now I'm just saying. Let me just put that out there right now, okay? Because I love my men. I ain't gonna pick on all the men now, Minister Bill. There's a couple of woody woos up in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about now. There's a couple of them. You know, there's a couple that's rough. I need every husband to just look straight ahead right now. Because y'all, I can see the wives like, yeah. You let that funny pastor mess with you if you won't. Yeah. You're going to mess around and be on lockdown. Okay. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. Give God some praise if you would. Come on, give God some praise if you would. Oh, let me begin to finish right here. I just got notes here, y'all, and these were God inspired, and I have to give you what the Lord gave me, as He's holding me accountable for it. As it equates to marriage, we marry paradise, yet even paradise needs to be pruned. Yeah. Remember, Jesus said that. He said, no. You got to go through a pruning season. He said he prunes the good stuff. See, so even though you have, because many of you have this, even though you have a positive mindset in the way that you think about money, you haven't figured it all out. So even that good, healthy perspective that you have has to be pruned. Because God can always give you fresh revelation. Amen. One of the ways the enemy casts chaos over your finances is to steal what you have by causing you to hold on to it. If you hold on to it, it can't be protected. And if it can't be protected, it can be stolen. Don't miss that. One of the ways the enemy casts chaos over your fight is to steal what you have by causing you to hold on to it. I've told people before, if you're not tithing, you're stealing. I got about three amens, amen. I got about three of them, Wes. That was it. If you're not tithing, you're stealing. You're stealing. You're holding on to what belongs to God. That's not yours. You say, yes, it is. I made it. No. Your name might be on the check, but it was God's ability that gave you the wherewithal to make whatever you made, amen. If you hold on to it, it can't be protected. If it can't be protected, it can be stolen. Okay, we're about to wind home. Come on, Steve. We're about to wind home here. Let me just show you this right here. And so the Lord began to show me this when it comes to the seed. Say seed. The Lord began to show me this when it comes to the seed, that here it is, a holy God in a magnificent heaven. We go through the entire Old Testament, and we meet men who cannot fulfill the saving grace of the kingdom of God. We go through the entire Old Testament. So then we get into the New Testament. And the way the Lord showed me is He leans over to His Son, who's at the right side of the Father. And He says, Son, all of those who I have sent before you have failed. And so I'm going to need you to leave paradise. And I'm going to send you to a fallen world to bring it back to me. But I cannot send you as deity. Somebody stay with me now. I can't send you as deity, as God in spirit, because I need you to be able to identify with every pain and process that they are going through. Therefore, I'm going to send you as a seed. I'm going to send you as a seed, and I'm going to bring you into our earth. Oh, my gosh. Is anybody with me this morning? I'm going to bring you into the earth that we sat in the heavens and created. The earth that we sat in heaven together and created, that we watch the mountains be mountains, the water be water. We watch every fish in the sea come into the sea. We watch all the grass grow. We watch all the people from Adam all the way through. We watch them all come through. We watch them all fail. My spirit was evident, but I had not manifested myself physically. So then God said, now, son, it's time. It's time for me now to send you through the natural birth of a woman. And so God sat into heaven, and he looked all over, and he found this beautiful woman named Mary. This Mary was just minding her business. The one thing we know about Mary is she was pure, and she was undefiled. And so the Lord then took an angel called Gabriel, and this angel went to this woman named Mary, and he said, greetings, favored woman of the Lord is with you. Then he said this, and I want everybody to say this about themselves. Gabriel told Mary, he said, blessed. Okay, wait. Okay, because before the Lord puts a seed in you, he confirms you as blessed. Because the devil will try to trick you. Let me bust something up right now. The devil will try to mess you up and tell you what you don't deserve. Man, your mother ain't have this. Your daddy ain't have this. You know this stuff don't run in your bloodline, and ain't nobody, everybody in your bloodline rent. Everybody renting this family. You ain't gonna own no house. Don't nobody get married in this family. Everybody get a divorce. Listen, the devil is a liar. I am under the blood of Jesus, and I know that maybe mama, grandma, auntie, they all got a divorce, and ain't none of them got no money. But guess what, baby? It starts with me. I'm going to be the new starter of blessing, of favor, of overcoming power. It's going to happen with me. It got to happen with somebody. Why not it happen with you? It got to happen with somebody got to turn this thing around. Gabriel
talks to Mary. Mary's messed up. She's blown away. She said, what? He said, man, you about to have a baby. What? I don't even know a man. Yeah, but the angel Gabriel begins to talk to him. He says, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And you're going to carry the Savior of the world in your womb. Wait a minute. What? As blown away as Mary was, and because Mary understood, she understood that she didn't really deserve that, that there was nothing that she had done to earn that, but she said something that I try to keep within my tool belt. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. There's something about the word of God being spoken over your life. When there's a seed on the inside of you, somebody's got to speak to that seed on the inside of you. Somebody got to speak to your earning power. Somebody's got to speak into your spirit and tell you, you got a business in you. You got books in you. You got earning power in you. You should be in a better place than you are today. And if you can pull on the revelation of God,
you can begin to function in the freedoms that God has given you. Mary, Mary, oh, Mary, Mary, Mary. Let it be according to your word. Then we find out that this same Mary, she goes and meets her. Oh, by the way, the angel told her. He said, yeah, you know your relative, Elizabeth? Yeah, she's pregnant. Mary like, what? No, she barren. The angel says, no, this I'm paraphrasing. No, the angel says, no. They used to say that about her. But she who was barren is barren no more. Matter of fact, not only is she not barren, she's already in her sixth month. And the Bible says that Mary has this beautiful encounter with Elizabeth. Y'all already know where I'm going. And at the moment that Mary walks in to the room, Elizabeth notices her relative come in the room, and the Bible says that the seed. Oh, man. It's going to all hit home in just a second. That from the time that Mary and Elizabeth get together, they both got seeds in them. And the seed on the inside of Elizabeth begins to leap. We know that seed as John the Baptist. Because here it is, then Elizabeth says, from the time that you walked in the room, as soon as I came into your peripheral, the baby in my womb began to, because there's something that happens when we got seeds in us from the inside, planted by God, and it is earning potential. What'll happen is that I'll fire you up, you'll fire me up. You'll get excited, I'll get excited. We'll see something that can't nobody else see. We'll see it and we'll identify it together. Oh, they used to say you was barren, baby, but you ain't barren no more. You got power in you. You got... Oh, and then Elizabeth says this powerful word. She says, oh, blessed are you among women. Oh, but it don't stop there, and you're going to shout right here. She said, blessed are you among women. And then she says this, everybody. Blessed is the fruit. Wait a minute, everybody. She said, blessed is the fruit of your womb. The fruit. Blessed is what's, watch this. Blessed is what's in you, and blessed in what's coming out of you. Blessed is what's in you. Blessed is what's coming out of you. Blessed is the fruit. Somebody say blessed.
Bless.
Somebody say blessed.
Bless.
Look at somebody and say blessed is what's in you. Mm-mm. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all getting this morning? Look at that person next to you and say, I see something in you. And it's blessed. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is what's on the inside of you. God planted that thing on the inside of you. But the thing about it is that I found out, honey, that even what was inside of her had to be guarded. Can you imagine Mary's pregnancy? How are you protecting what's in you? See, how are you protecting the seed that's in you? The way that I started this out about protecting that seed, as it is with, it is like that with money. You got to protect it. You have to protect what God has given you. See, many of you can identify with even the statement I'm going to say right now. How many of you have made stupid purchases? Lord Jesus, if you don't raise your hand, I'm gonna get some paper towel and buckets, and I'm going to give you some deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus, don't you sit there and act like you ain't made a bad purchase. You're probably wearing it. I'm messing with you. But we've all made bad purchases. We've all done silly stuff with our money, just bad stuff with our money. We didn't protect. You got to protect the seed. Those of you that are on your way back to financial freedom, protect the storehouse of which God has given you. I didn't even have enough time to go into the storehouse. Please don't miss the upcoming classes, 10/31 and November 7th. Don't miss those. Don't miss those. Those are not just for people who are in a tough financial place. Those are for everybody. Everybody. Don't miss that, everybody. I want us as a church to be financially free. I believe every man and woman in here who is working, okay, can be blessed in their finances. I believe even if you're on a fixed income, you're retired, you have a certain Social Security, what have you, I believe that you can have complete freedom in your finances. If you believe that, put your hands together and give God some praise. Come on, give God some good praise in this place. Everything that I just talked about goes into a few words. It is the power to bless another man's seed. God's given us that. God's given us the power to bless another man's seed. Because when Elizabeth looked at Mary and she said, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, there was power that she had. And she actually blessed the seed that was on the inside of Mary. See, I can do that. Come here, Mr. Bill. I can bless. I have the power to bless what's on the inside of him. His earning potential. Every seed that he, come here, Erica, that he and Erica have in the ground. We can do that. You don't have to be a preacher to do this. All you have to do is believe the word of God. Everybody stand at their feet. So I have the power. I can speak into the seeds that they have planted. And I can speak over every seed that has been sown in the ground. And I can say, Father God, by the power of your authority and your grace on their lives, that every seed that has been sown in the ground, both before and now, that it will come forth accordingly with signs, with miracles, and with wonders. And Father God, I pray right now that every desire of their heart, as they are givers, that they are sowers, that Father God, you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that they would not have room enough to receive simply according to your word. Their finances are blessed and they are favored of God. Somebody give God some praise in this place right now. Listen, turn to somebody next to you. Turn to somebody next to you. Husband and wife, turn together. Turn to somebody quickly. Find somebody. Y'all can get in threes if you need to. You can get in threes. Y'all three can get together. Three of you all, three men. Come on, find somebody. Come on, begin to pray for them right now. Begin to pray over their seed sowing ability. Begin to pray over their harvest right now. Begin to pray over their harvest. Begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray over their seeds right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're praying for somebody that's sowing seeds. You're praying for somebody who is believing God for overflow in their life. Come on, you're praying for a spouse. You're praying for a husband. You're praying for a wife. Pray. Yes. We got to know how to pray for one another, to intercede for one another. All right, now clap your hands as though the prayer is done. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus. Pray. Come on, clap those hands like it's done. How many of you all out there and do it and show me by raising a hand? How many of you are desperate to see your financial situation change? Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Desperate. Be honest. Just be honest. I'm desperate. I need to see it change. Those of you, put your hands. I want you to come down to the altar right now. Come down. Bum rush this altar right now. Matter of fact, before you leave, let me just do this at the same time. Put that super seed in your hand right now. Those of you coming to the altar. Matter of fact, if you're sowing a seed, whether or not you're coming to the altar or not, come down to the altar and put the seed on the, put it on the altar now. Come on. Come quickly. As the Lord leads you, let the Lord speak to you now. And as you come to the altar, you can just remain there. You're maybe a part of those first persons that I was talking to. Y'all can sing softly. Yes, you can just throw it on the altar. I know I don't have to say this, but I will. And I'm talking to every leader in this place. Every leader in this place should be sowing sacrificially. Every leader. You know who you are. Leaders. If you're a leader, leaders lead the way. Leaders don't ask people to do stuff and not do it. Leaders are the first persons to sow sacrificially. When we do an altar call like this, and I don't do many of them, but when I do them, hear your pastor's heart right now. I expect the leaders to lead. I'm a leader. I'm going to lead. My wife and I are going to lead. We're going to sow sacrificially. And I would expect, again, those leaders to do the same. Amen. Bless your name, Lord. Yeah, Bob, you can come on the stage. Pastor Mike, you can come out on the stage too. Just hang right there. Right there. Bob, same thing there. Lift your hands, those of you that are at the altar. Something supernatural is about to happen. I'm telling you, I feel it. Yes. Altar workers, there's just too many people at this altar for us to kind of go through. So let me just do this corporately here today. I want you to just receive this. Receive this. Everybody at this altar, just receive it. Bob, you can begin to collect that money there. There might be men and women still bringing seeds. If so, just let those seeds fall as such. Ministering to you. This song right here is ministering to you. Thank you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, God. I want you to do something very unselfish as we keep singing right here. I just want you to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Because not only are you a touching and you're agreeing for your own situation, you're praying for the person next to you. Because the one thing that we understand about Elizabeth is
that the power of the Holy Spirit caused her to speak blessings into a seed that wasn't her own. You got to be able to speak into a seed that's not your own. You got to be able to speak into a seed that is not yours, but it's in the next woman, it's the next man. Father, as we are gathered in here today, we're praying and we're believing for you to do something that exceeds our imaginations, that exceeds our thoughts and our matter, Lord God. We're praying that there is breakthrough in the area of finances and our financial well-being.
I got a feeling that it's time for the harvest.
do the same thing. Put those mics down for a moment. Begin to shake each other's hands. Bill, come on up here. Begin to shake each other's hands. Oh, I just heard something both in the spirit and in the natural. Oh, my Lord. Okay, Holy Spirit. Hold on. I just heard something. Bring it down a little bit. I just heard something. 2019 is going to be an interesting year, says the Lord. But the Lord says, I'm going to open a door, even as far as praise and worship is concerned. I hear the Lord say, in demand. The Lord says, I'm restructuring and I'm shifting some things. And I'm speaking to you, team, because you are part of that front line. Really, aside from me, my wife, there's that next line that's vocal before the body of Christ. And so oftentimes, this is that first line that's attacked. Like the ministers, they get attacked. But I hear the Lord saying there's a shifting that is happening. And 2019 is going to be really, really key for you, team. Man, there's an international call on this team. Receive this team. There's an international call upon your lives. The Lord says, I'm shifting seeds. Oh, man. And I hear the Lord saying, if you will pray and fast for one another, because what he's saying is that there's going to be blossoming that's going to happen as a team, but initially it's going to happen individually. And I hear the Lord saying, if you can celebrate the seed of another, then I will surely bring to pass what I am doing on the inside of you. There's a freedom that's coming to each of you. And that is accelerating even now, says the Lord. So begin to grab each other's hands right now. Y'all do the same thing out there as y'all already done. And there's an acceleration of seed time and harvest and overflow and abundance. There's new things that are coming. There's new ideas that are coming. There's new wisdom that is coming. There's new revelation that is coming. You are entering into a season of new, says the Lord. And as the enemy would tell you, it is the same old, you hit him with 2 Corinthians 5:17. And you tell him, behold, I have created a new thing in you. There's a new season. It is a new thing. It is a new day. There is nothing that God cannot and will not do, says the Lord. For doors will begin to open. Visions will begin to visualize themselves. So get ready, men and women of God, for you are about to step into an open venue of blessing and glory, says the Lord. For I will not bless the body without hitting the head first, says the Lord. Somebody better receive that thing right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm finished. Oh, God. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is so evident in here. It is so evident. I just feel the blessings of the Lord in this place. All I can tell you, those of you, let me just say it like this. You are in the right place, in the right season for your life. Because God, you're in the right place, in the right season of your life. Because wisdom, revelation, and knowledge is all you need. I'll finish like this. You don't need more money. What you need is wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. And that is what money is attracted to. If you receive that, say, I receive it. I am going to speak the blessing right now. Altar workers, please be available. Every man, woman, or child that will want prayer individually. I'm going to dismiss just for the sake of time. But if there's a man, woman, or child that wants prayer individually, altar workers, be available for them right now. You can come down to the altar. I'm going to dismiss here right now. Listen, 10:31 this Wednesday, financial seminar. How many of you all are interested in coming to that Wednesday? This Wednesday, 10:31 and November 7th. The next two Wednesdays, all right? Make sure you're there. It'll be great breakthrough that'll happen. All right, lift your hands all over the building. Man, oh man, thank the Lord. Have you all enjoyed the closeout of this series? Y'all enjoyed these teachings? These teachings will be available probably as early as next week. Those of you that still do the CD thing, you can probably get it on CD. If not, you can just listen to the app and listen to all four of the messages on this series. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes open. This is not prayer. This is blessing. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say it's my best season. I bless your money. Bless your money right now in the name of Jesus. We bless your seeds. Every seed you got in the ground, we bless it right now. And may you be compelled, moved to sow according to the kingdom of God. Bless your homes, your jobs, as I said, your finances, your health, and your well-being. We tell you each and every week, God has only given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? Love on somebody before you leave here. We love you. God bless you. Meet many of you in the hallway. God bless you.